Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful and glad within it. And these are the times in which we are living, because God has decided these times through which we'll live. We have unique. We'll keep it rolling. Nick, keep that audio up. We love that. It's fun music. So we have unique responsibilities because of the times through which we live. One of the responsibilities is to step back. When we see events like we've seen unfold in Brooklyn Center in Minnesota, and if you don't know about this yet, it's another tragedy. It's a young man who has been shot by the police and ended up dying. And the bigger tragedy is, of course, that the facts simply don't matter. What he did or didn't do in relation to the police stop doesn't matter. None of that matters. The riots were preordained. We knew this would happen because the left is busily teaching people this is what you do whenever there is a shooting that involves one race of person. So 500 white people shot by the police, 300 black people. Very rarely do we see riots in the streets. You know, we can go through all sorts of cases of white people being shot by the cops in really bad circumstances. But that's a whataboutism. We're not supposed to do whataboutisms, except that they're very, very helpful for us to understand what's going on. It's actually called a benchmark, right? So benchmarking things, say, is this a reaction that fits all the circumstances, or do we see the reaction that's been pushed by the media? And we'll get in later in the show into some of the details around the shooting. I sat back and waited to see, what are we going to learn, right, about this young man? So I don't know his soul. I hope he was right with God. I don't know. We don't know the circumstances of the traffic stop. His family says he was killed because of air fresheners in the car. That's what I understand. I don't believe he was killed because of air fresheners. Twitter is telling us, of course, in headline all day long on their front page, reminding us that he was a black person. There is absolutely no evidence of any racism whatsoever. There's nothing that's been revealed about the shooting. Apparently, there was a passenger in the car who filmed it, so we'll get to see that. And there's some context about the young man, his life. And you know what? I've seen the context. And just to be fair, I don't think I'm going to share that context right now. Because the context is what he has been and what he has done in some pictures he decided to post on social media. And they don't paint a good picture of the young man, but they're also social media pictures. What matters to me is just a reminder that destroying Walmart and GameStop and local liquor stores and attempting an armed insurrection of police headquarters, which people did attempt to break into police headquarters, right? That's an insurrection, except it happened at night and it was by people who were probably not Trump supporters. Therefore, it's of course not an insurrection or an insurrection attempt. What matters is to remember that these reactions have been fostered and winked at by Barack Obama and Joe Biden's dementia. They have been rewarded by Kamala Harris helping to bail people out when they destroy entire communities because with no information as to what happened in the actual shooting. And this is, they're getting the response they wanted. This is the dynamic they seek. They seek a divided United States. They seek a populace of young black people who have been taught that whenever you go down the street, your life is at risk because cops like to shoot young black people. That's what they like to do. Black cops, too. So our job and our responsibility in this time, in my judgment, is to sit and wait for the facts to unfold so that and that we can make a reasoned judgment. Is it possible that the shooting was a bad shoot? Of course it is. Of course it's possible. These things happen, and they're tragic. They're tragic no matter if it's a bad shoot or a good shoot. A young person losing their life is tragic. But a cop getting to go home at night, if the cop was threatened, that's sometimes a decision cops have to make. And there's no greater example of where this has been fostered than, of course, in the city of Seattle with the purposeful destruction of civilized society. Right, Mayor Jenny?
This city is under a lot of duress right now. If there were easy solutions, Seattle probably would not have elected a woman mayor. Seattle's a hard place to live.
We can act and we should act.
We haven't played those in a long time. That's Mayor Snow Shovel. And we play that just to remind ourselves that she was mayor when she said these things. Someone should do something. Seattle's a hard place to live. Hey, someone do something. Useless term as mayor. Well, in fact, destructive term as mayor. Let's go back and do another whataboutism, shall we? Because whataboutisms are opportunities to compare. Whataboutism is a useful tool. That's why the left decided, oh, let's deride whataboutisms. Here's a great whataboutism. Huh. This milk tasted good last week. Right now, it smells bad, and I don't think I should drink. Well, whataboutism. That's a whataboutism. You don't get to say, what about the milk and how it smelled last week? No, we do these things to compare, to track our world. Here's one example of a state in America versus the separate city of Seattle. In America, the Idaho State House has decided to reject a higher ed funding bill. Why? Because they reject a wokeahotist agenda attached to it. Critical race theory is teaching racism. When you have a theory that says all white people are sick with whiteness, and the only way to solve whiteness is, well, I don't know, how do you solve it, since it's inherent in our DNA? That's racism. It's just as racism as saying all black people X. So good on the Idaho State House doing this. Hey, colleges, you want some more taxpayer money? Stop teaching racism. Meanwhile, in Seattle, they're getting the exact results they want because they've been going down this path for 30 years. Defund the police is only the latest effort on this, and it's working. There's, what, 400 cops? We're more than that. We're like 800 cops light in the city of Seattle. And for those who listen around the country in the podcast, this is coming your way if you allow leftism to get a foothold on any portion of your society. Your school boards is often where they start. Your zoning commissions is where they start. Everybody outside of the separate country of Seattle who lives in a state that's still saying you need to flood the zones of those kinds of institutions. Cairo 7 has a story about a Seattle man who took it upon himself to chase down what is probably a serial arsonist.
I got up to use the bathroom, and I saw the backside of the building flickering.
He didn't want us to show his face, but he agreed to tell us how he happened to nab an arson suspect at 3 Friday morning.
I went out front and saw a dude come out of the gate and chase him down. Held him down until the cops got there.
He said after watching last weekend's fire that ravaged this multi-unit building under construction, he wasn't about to let it happen again.
Were you surprised by all of this?
No, I've been waiting for him.
This neighborhood along Rainier Avenue South has been beset by arsons for the last 8 months. Since late last August, nearly 20 fires have been set here and on nearby Beacon Hill.
So Rainier Avenue South, and where that is, I know that area well. That's the area of the city where Sound Transit lied to black people and said, oh, no, we'll never have the train run at street level. And, oh, we're going to build a new community center. And that's the area of town where they continue to lie to black people. Oh, the big problem here is white racism. That, and that's the big problem. And it has nothing to do with the cartels being allowed to run wild or mentally ill people being allowed to live on the streets and do whatever they choose to do. No. The big problem is the KKK here. That's the big problem. Certainly, there are racist people. Always will be. It's a human failing. That's always going to be the case. But that's not the big problem in these neighborhoods where they let people who are mentally ill run wild. Another neighbor had something to say about this in this Carol 7
piece. Farmer Market, heartbreak. That went down. This, which was a disaster because that's a dry cleaning site.
Tina Beckler ticked off the fires just in the four corners of this intersection near South Plum.
Between Beacon Hill and this neighborhood, we're in a competition for who has the best arsonist.
Well, you know, they may have caught the one from...
Oh, good. Because I'm certain it's the same person.
I'm certain, too. And I'll tell you something else. That person will continue to do this as long as they want. Because I guarantee that person will be out of jail very quickly. And there is more of Out of Control Seattle I'll give you in just a second after we check traffic.
Congestion starting to move a little bit northbound, both on North 5 and 167. It's starting to bunch up before you get to 516. And we are looking at northbound 167 bunching up from about 180th up to 405. The S-curves are fine, just starting to get a little bit heavy. This report sponsored by Molina Healthcare. For the health coverage you need, lean on Molina Healthcare. Molina has 40 years of experience and covers preventive services, prescription drugs, maternity, and newborn care. For details, go to leanonmolina.com. AM 770 KTTH traffic.
That's good to see Cairo 7 actually report some news. And this is community interest, and it does affect lives. And this is when local media proves its importance. Cairo 7 can run pieces like this and stand for communities and protect families. But in a lot of areas, our local media is absolutely, they're worse than useless. We'll get to that because just do a contrast and compare a whataboutism, if you will. So let's just get back to one more piece of Seattle being out of control. This is another Cairo 7 piece. Now, this is a major American city. And Cairo 7 obtained this audio from April 9th. This is 47th Street and 11th Avenue. This is in the University District. We allow street racers to do whatever the heck they want, including spin, you know, the young people call it. We used to call them Brodies, but I grew up half white trash, so we called them Brodies. Other people call them donuts. Downtown Seattle, remember that? Right outside the Como News building, there was a human being hit, and then in Tacoma, they were doing that. And the Mockingbird media in downtown Tacoma pretended a police officer drove into a crowd of people and hit someone, which was an absolute lie. The police officer pulled up into a vacant lane, was there to stop illegal street racing, which can be deadly. The crowd, which included a bunch of violent gang members, started to scream, get him out of the car. They attacked the car. They broke out the rear window of his police car. And quite wisely, he drove out of the crowd. This is in the University District where these people decided to overturn a car, to flip it upside down in the middle of a city street.
Today, we're hearing from someone who was part of the group involved. His name is Tyler, and he asked us not to reveal his full identity. Tyler says the car was not flipped out of anger, but instead done at the request of the car owner himself. He says it was all for a stunt as part of a social media video.
I'm reading all these reports of people saying that we were saying attack the guy, we forced him out of his car and everything. And no one was forced out of their car. He chosefully, he drove that car to the intersection and got out. He put it there on purpose.
Seattle police tell us that the owner of the car never called 911 and that there were no arrests or injuries from that incident.
That certainly makes it better. Oh, I withdraw my complaint. The owner of the car wanted it to happen, so I withdraw my complaint. This behavior is the inevitable result of demonstrating to people there are no consequences. There's no serious jail time. There's no serious jail time for dealing fentanyl, meth, heroin. There's no serious consequence for living in drug trafficking, sex trafficking camps. There's no serious consequence for property crimes. There's no serious consequence for assault. This is the inevitable result of the systems they've set up. Now, Cairo 7, again, runs that piece. Now, here's our contrast and compare moment. Last week, the Today Show did a little piece that kind of revealed the uselessness of what we call NPIs, non-pharmaceutical interventions, to the COVID flu. The Today Show, they acted like it was confusing. Like, how could it be that states that are following 100 years of established, scientifically rigorous approaches to upper respiratory viruses, from which we've learned, or about which we've learned, since the 1918 Spanish flu example. For instance, we know that masks do not and cannot work. We know that when populations were forced at gunpoint to stay inside their homes during the Spanish flu, that didn't stop the spread. You could literally be shot for leaving your house or not wearing a useless piece of cloth on your beak. How could it be that states that actually followed the scientific rigor, like presented by Tony Fauci's team lockdown before they decided to catastrophize this all, how could it be that those states did better than all the lockdown states?
What about the variants? That's got to play a role here too, Sam.
A significant role. Michigan, for example, Savannah, has a very high prevalence of the UK strain. That's also true of states like Minnesota. Both of them have seen cases skyrocket. But Savannah, there are outliers as well. In Florida, where I am, there are more documented cases of the UK strain here than any other state in the country by far. And yet, so far, a 17% increase in the last 2 weeks. Very small compared to some of these other states.
Yeah, here's why. It's because they have built up actual herd immunity. The vaccines don't do that because they're not vaccines. So will the local media report that piece and compare it to Jay Inslee's medically useless, deadly, politically advantageous lockdowns of little kids and teens, of churches and small businesses? Well, big business and pot businesses and booze businesses and abortion providers were allowed to run wild. Will they report that? I wonder if Como News will report that.
King County is not in danger of moving back to phase two, but Pierce County and a few other counties are.
Oh.
We checked in with the owner of Quest Gym, Puyallup, about the anticipated rollback in phases.
Definitely disappointed.
What does moving back to phase two look like? Moving from 50% back to 25%.
In the entire piece, I couldn't find a single criticism, a single question, a suggestion. I mean, look, Como, if you need me to, I'll put you in touch with the epidemiologists from Harvard I've had on the show, with the epidemiologists and immunologists we've had from Oxford on the show. I'm glad to give you their email addresses. Except I happen to know they've already sent you press releases for over a year begging for attention to this because it's causing the suicide of little kids and teens and adults and deaths of despair in older adults. I did find this. They're pretty excited about this third option at the SeaTac airport. So, yeah, you could get something shoved up your beak. You could take a test. Right, you could bring your vaccine pass, or you could go get a rapid test at SeaTac before you fly on an airplane.
In a time of so much uncertainty, a definitive test result can make all the difference.
Yeah.
At least that's their sales pitch.
It also gives people a lot of comfort after they have been traveling when they come home to make sure they're still negative.
Express Check, a private company launching this testing site outside baggage claim at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. It's now the third option for passengers looking for a COVID-19 test while still in the airport.
I think it'd be very expensive to be tested before you leave and when you arrive, and any exposure in between could, you don't know what your exposure is.
No, you don't! See the lady, the beautiful random lady they pick. She knows. You walk into the airport, get tested. If you caught the COVID an hour earlier or a day earlier, it may not pick that up. Probably won't. You pop off an airplane, they shove whatever it is up your beak or however they're testing you. It doesn't know anything. So the media can be so helpful. But in terms of the COVID, still 100% lockstep with the Seattle Media 5. They love them some lockdowns. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. A couple things. Alex, our producer, is ill. He came in contact with someone who had the COVID, and Alex is not feeling well. In fact, there's a wave of this stuff around the station, so we're running a whole kind of new crew. And do me a favor, just wherever you're at, listen to the podcast later, streaming, listen in the radio in the car, like the olden days. Just give yourself this internal note. Young people still work hard. Nick, who is running the board and producing, and with some help from our friend Tarek and others, Nick's had like an hour of sleep. And so he's still killing it. And running boards for radio stations is not easy, particularly on a show like this. So everybody mentally make a note. Young people still work hard, and give Nick, heads up, or give him like a little prayer for peace and some good sleep.
Ah, Todd, you're being too kind right now.
No, I'm not, man. That's my job. That's my job. We thank each other as teams. Thank you for that, brother.
Well, I appreciate it.
There is an article in American Greatness that is both disconcerting and spot on. I've had a lot of people ask me, all right, so in March of last year, March of 2020, we entered the Great Reset. And it was really brilliant the way they did this, that they talked about the Great Reset, that Joe Biden ran on elements of the Great Reset, that all sorts of bosses around the world spoke the Build Back Better stuff. And we run the Build Back Better Bullies sounder. You've heard us do that. And it's all sorts of bosses saying Build Back Better. And last week there was that congressman, so-called, from the state of California, where he was saying we're going to build back more equitably, etc. And so we began the Great Reset, in my judgment, in March of 2020. That's when they decided to catastrophize a flu with a 99.87% overall survival rate. That's where they decided to depart any form of hard science in this and to soften the science all the way around it. Now we hear things like we may need to shut down, lock down, mind you, not big business, but small businesses, schools, and churches every couple of years so that we can catch up with the weather. These are serious proposals from serious people. So before I get to the elements of this piece, which is about the end game, because a lot of people ask me, so what's the end game? Well, the big picture on the end game is they hate you, and they hate your personal mobility, and they hate your freedom to live where you want to live. And they hate small businesses because small business is big freedom. And who are they? There. That's the part we're going to talk about. You can either believe that big corporations buy Republicans so they can go get low tax rates and they can keep the minimum wage low, and big corporations buy Republicans to do that. And the NRA buys votes to keep guns in the hands of Americans. But Democrats are in power, that no one does that. No. There's no influence purchasing on the left. No. Except you can break the back of that silly argument very easily. The big insurance lobby purchased, and got the ability to force you to purchase products you don't want at prices you cannot afford for services you don't need from companies you hate. That's a heck of a hat trick. Big Pharma is purchasing access to your children's bodies. They're purchasing access to you. You will eventually be told you cannot interact in public unless you let Big Pharma shoot you up. Right? I've already settled the fact. I went walking with my friend Tom yesterday, went on a little hike. And I told him, I've already settled the fact I'm not allowed to fly on airplanes. Okay, I'm not allowed to fly. I'm not allowed to go to concerts. Okay, cool. That's fine. I've been to plenty of concerts. I've flown on enough airplanes that I never need to fly on one again. I'm settled with that. So on the left, there are, influence peddling schemes, but they're better at it. This piece in American Greatness by Edward ring is about why the party wants to disappear the existence of the middle class. I didn't say kill the middle class. That's, and it's not what I mean. I mean, financially end it. So the party, if you're new to the show, is defined as statist, leftists, and technocrats. And there's plenty of Republicans who love the party. Chris Christie loves the party. So that's why he likes to come out and pretend to still be a Republican, because he pushed back against the infrastructure bill. That's great level of comfort for Chris Christie. So the technocrats, statists, and leftists have their thoughts repeated and amplified without any skepticism by the Mockingbird media. Those are some phrases we use on the show. The theory of this piece by Edward Ring in American Greatness is this, that the party, so Jack Dorsey, Tony Fauci, and Kamala Harris, and Zuckerberg, the party, they really believe that the world is so short on resources, so short on energy, and so inequitable that they need to combine those things into an effort to end the existence of an economic middle class. And in so doing, what the end goal is actually is to move us all into city states. Now, again, you can say, well, that sounds like a conspiracy. Well, there are people purchasing an ability to charge you per mile that you drive with the GPS unit in your car. There is an effort to constrain and stop building highways in rural areas. There was an effort, a successful one in Washington State, to seize the water rights of people in rural areas. That worked. The Seattle Supreme Court, which used to be the Washington State Supreme Court, actually let that happen. And politicians undertook so much pressure or experienced so much pressure, they had to overturn that. So the big move is to make living in rural America financially impossible. It's to make it impossible from a perspective of getting access to goods and services. It's also through zoning and pricing and the social amenities that they do not want in rural America. There's a guy named, and this is quoted in the article in the American Greatness, there's a guy named Joel Kotkin. He's written about demographics and migrations and social aspects of this. He has a piece coming out called The Coming of Neo-Feudalism, A Warning to the Global Middle Class. He writes this: the new class structure resembles that of medieval times. The apex of the new order are two classes, a reborn clerical elite, the clerisy, which dominates the upper part of the professional ranks, universities, media, culture, and the new aristocracy led by tech oligarchs with unprecedented wealth and growing control of information. These two classes correspond to the old French first and second estates. Below these two classes lies what was once called the third estate. This includes the yeomanry, which is made up of small business people, minority property owners, skilled workers, and private sector-oriented professionals. Ascended for much of modern history, this class is in decline, while those below them, the new serfs, grow in number, a vast, expanding, property-less population. And this is what the party seeks. People that they can convince are victims that need a universal basic income, which they are installing piece by piece since March of 2020 when they started the Great Reset. These so-called stimulus payments, which are going to people who've been in prison for the past 2 years. They're going to 15-year-old kids in Washington State, $680. They're teaching the behavior of victimhood to those folks in that strata of life, which used to be thought out as starting out life. To the middle class, they're doing everything they can to shut it and squeeze it. Remember, the lockdowns did not lock down. There is no such thing as a lockdown. There has never been a lockdown. There were destructions of small businesses, churches, and schools with an effect that has completely squeezed and demoralized the actual middle class. This is a great piece in American Greatness. That song might come out of the KTTH database, but that actually works.
You like that?
I did like that one, yeah. I have a rule, you guys, in the show, and it's really hard on producers. I will not allow music on the show that comes out of the KTTH database.
You know, I picked this one myself. I didn't know it was in the database.
It may not be. It worked. So Nick is working with us this morning, doing a great job. This is an incredibly risky thing that I'm about to do. And so I want to take full responsibility for this. All right. This is not, it's not Bonneville who owns the radio stations. They don't know what I'm about to do. And certainly not Nick or Tarek or none of the advertisers know what I'm about to just do here. And I mean, it's just an incredible career risk. I'm going to do two sort of features in one segment. And this could be the end. Because you're only to do one benchmark feature. And in fact, to make it more complicated, these aren't even benchmarks. Benchmarks are where you hear the big voice. They want to control everything you do, where you drive, what you eat, what you say. Like when we do that with the technocrats update, tracking the technocrats, that's called a benchmark because it's a big voice saying it. Or like the text messages thing we do with the last segment of 8 o'clock, that's a benchmark. These aren't even benchmarks, which makes it even more risky. Now, you've heard me say before, there are times when you listen to the Todd Herman Show and you say, I've seen it all. Stop. Stop. You've given me too much information. Stop. There's too much new stuff. And then I say, no, wait. If you don't believe me, for God's sake, you have to believe Bachman Turner. Baby.
Is this also from the database?
That is my song. I threw that in there.
Gotcha.
It turns out that our friend, the guy who is ensconced in the White House behind a militarized fence and is the figurehead for government at a federal level, Joe Biden's dementia, he decided to, or his teleprompter told him to criticize the new election integrity law in the state of Georgia. And of course, this became a cause celeb and major league, we used to call baseball. The new name is what? Oh, loser ball. Major league loser ball decided to move the All-Star game out of Georgia, Atlanta, to Denver, which has more restrictive voting laws. That's part A. Here's part B. You know the other state that has more restrictive voting laws, as I learned from John Hinderacker in Powerline blog? Delaware. Delaware. That's where Joe Biden's dementia, that's where his basement is located, in Delaware. So there is a Georgia state representative has introduced legislation that will simply make the Georgia voting law the same as Delaware. The law will have the five key features to make us like Delaware. Instead of having up to 19 days of early voting like we have here in Georgia, we're going to have exactly zero early voting days because that's how they do it in Delaware. Instead of having no excuse absentee voter registration like we have in Georgia, we're going to have you make an excuse to have an absentee ballot. And that excuse will be either you're sick or you're disabled because that's how they do it in Delaware. Instead of having secure drop boxes where you can place your absentee ballot in one of those drop boxes for security's sake, we're going to provide you with exactly zero drop boxes because that's how they do it in Delaware. And instead of being able to get food or drink from anyone outside of the 150-foot buffer zone while you're voting or being able to be provided water inside the 150-foot buffer area, we're going to make it illegal for you to receive anything of value at any point while you're standing in line to vote because that's how they do it in Delaware. And I want to just extend gratitude to every single member of the Mockingbird Media for pointing out these inconsistencies. That would be, Fox. No? Dang it. Newsmax pointed it out. Now, remember when I said that I was taking a career risk to do two sub-features within one segment? I'm gonna. We could make this a bigger feature, but I just like this.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude from the German. It is to take pleasure at the mishaps or the displeasure of others. Last week, the propaganda station known as CNN decided to run a piece criticizing any business that uses sort of faux Asian fonts, you know, like you go eat Chinese food and the Chinese owners of Chinese restaurants choose to use boxes that have sort of fake looking Chinese font that no one thinks is actually Chinese because it is in English. And Chinese font, beautiful and elegant as it is, actually doesn't have E's and A's. So they ran this piece saying that's racism. This would be the same CNN that then ran an article about the Pursuit Golf, which is not a sport. They just, you know, chose the wrong Asian golfer. They misplaced him because I guess in the words of CNN, seen one, you've seen them all. Hey, it's their theory, not mine.